Make sure you get as loud and clear.
Welcome to Used Wigs Radio.
This is the radio station with nothing but...
Lonely. Download some friends.
Continuous programming to the people in Philadelphia and the Delaware Valley.
In baseball, the Phillies defeated the Braves 4-1 yesterday.
Philadelphia Mayor John
Hey everybody, welcome to Used Wigs Radio podcast number 26. In honor of Valentine's Day, tonight's show is all about loving. Good loving. The Used Wigs staff will get in the spirit by producing their own romantic comedy. Russ will play the chatty gay best friend. Todd will play the snarky fat woman best friend. And Jeff will choreograph the all-important scene where everybody spontaneously joins together, singing a cheesy song from the 70s and doing a fun little dance. Man, this is going to be so sweet. Hi, guys.
Hey, Jeff.
This is Jeff Lyons here. I'm with Todd and Russ, of course, on Used Wigs Radio. And tonight, we're going to play you some ass-kicking, in-your-face love songs. That's right, guys. Hopefully, these selections will be a bit more pleasant than the sappy, soulless crap we're used to getting from John Mayer, Jason Mraz, Maroon 5, and all that other white boy crap. Guys, let's get into the love and spirit right away. And what do you think of when you think about getting all lovey with your best gal or two by your side than romantic comedies or rom-coms, I think.
Go ahead. What are some of your favorites? How you got on tap?
Well, not to be a guy, but, you know, I really don't think there's been a good romantic comedy.
Punch-Drunk Love.
There you go.
That was good.
Was it good?
I thought so.
Yeah.
Garden State was good for the first three quarters, and then the end stunk up the joint.
The thing I liked about Garden State, I love watching Natalie Portman do anything. I just love her face. I think she's mesmerizing. Mm-hmm. Where's my mom's sister? No reason. Mesmerizing. My mom's very smart, but she has a couple words she just uses incorrectly.
Yeah.
That's one of them.
My wife says breakfast.
That's
not breakfast. And then I call her on that. She says, well, I just say one word wrong. What's the matter with that? And I say, well, if you acknowledge it, why not say all the words correctly?
I don't want to call Heather dumb, so I'm not going to.
But go ahead.
I just have to check in for a second. You didn't like Natalie Portman in the new Star Wars movie?
No, no one did. And she didn't even. She says her. No, I just love her. I just love her face. I don't know what it is. People tell me Punch Drunk Love is good. All right, so Todd, you have one. But that, when I'm saying romantic comedy, I don't even think Garden State fits into that. I'm thinking when Four Weddings and a Funeral came out and Harry Met Sally and Sleepless in Seattle, that they were kind of like the new wave of romantic comedy. Sure, years and years ago, you had all the ditzy Doris Day type romantic comedies. But I'm like really broad romantic comedies. You know, like you have now Ever After, The Wedding Singer, where it's really just like a love story, like a ditzy girl who just can't get it right, finally meets the right guy at her sister's wedding. Like that crap. There's no...
Well, there's no shortage of crap in that category.
You're right.
For sure.
Right.
So for every 15 or 20 terrible ones, there might be one good one.
Most of them have Kate Hudson in them.
Exactly. You know what? I was going to bring that up, Russ, because a few years back, I prayed to Jesus, our sweet Lord, and I said, Jesus, I need you to do me a solid. I need you to get a certain woman out of movies because she's in too many. And that woman was Helen Hunt. Back in like 2000, she was in every movie. And Jesus answered me because he owed me. I did a couple of really good things for him. I'm not going to say what. And then I said, can you do the same with Goldie Hawn's daughter? And he took her out of the movie biz for a while. So I'm like two for two.
Drew Barrymore is the next one.
I don't really mind her, Sloppy Drew. She's fine. She's just like, you know, this pudgy little like friend you have that isn't that annoying.
Gosh.
But the one I can't stand, and she's in everything now, is that potato-faced Mandy Moore. If you look at her, everybody's like, she's so cute. First of all, she's like 6'1", this big gawking girl. She's not cute. And if you look at her face, it's malformed to the point where one cheek is probably 3 inches higher than the other. She has like a booger on her face. Her teeth aren't perfect. And She just looks like a potato. You know, like you see a potato and you kind of make like a face out of it? That's kind of what her head's shaped like.
Like the villagers in The Dark Crystal that raise the female Gelfling.
That's exactly right? What you and four other people would say. Right.
I can't even picture what you're talking about.
The little
about.
Potato people?
The pod people.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah, the podlings.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to get back to more romantic comedy talk. But let's start off the show with some romantic music. What we're going to do is try to play you some romantic love songs, if you will, that you don't normally hear. Like, you're not going to probably see your buddy and his wife dance to it.
This is the closing theme from The Dark Crystal.
We're back, Used Wigs Radio Podcast number 26, The Love Show, with your lovers, Todd, Russ, and Jeff. Guys, that was the almighty Jawbreaker, probably number two favorite band of all time, with the song Chesterfield King. Todd, what were you going to say?
I was just thinking perhaps that we should have like a love song voice.
You think? Podcast. Why don't you do that? And you can get really into it, and then Russ and I won't.
Okay. He can talk about Star Wars and that.
Yeah, you can do that.
What is your number one favorite band?
Husker Du. Just so everyone realizes, I'm very old.
But is that just for tonight, or is that going to change?
It might change, but they have been my favorite for so long. But let me just give you a little bit of history on that song, Chesterfield King. It is a very simple song, just about a young fella getting up the courage to drive down the hill to his gal's house, the girl he's sweet on, and basically just have that one kiss, one embrace, and share a cigarette. You were waiting on your step, steam showing off your breath, and water in your eyes. We pulled each other into one, park is clinging on the lawn, and kissed right there. Wow, I know, you guys are like, that's beautiful, I see you tearing up. But it's there's so few really good, I think, punk songs that just can get a simple, simple story across like that without, I don't know, just pretending they're tough or going the opposite direction and getting too hokey.
What would you say the most common subject for punk songs is? It's not love?
It's I think like the Descendants kind of started the trend. It's angst in saying you're a loser, but you're okay with being a loser and you'll overcome that. It's the exact opposite of braggadocio rap. Mm-hmm. Of okay. Most rock songs, and that's kind of what bonds all young punks together is, I realize I'm a loser in your eyes, but I'm okay with that because I find, you know, I can handle it.
That's the theme of most
yeah, all punk the songs, Descendants, yeah. Everybody said every Descendants song was about getting broken up with and drinking coffee, you know, and that's pretty much what punk songs are about, getting broken up with and figuring out, you know, pining away for someone you never get.
That reminds me of...
You go on your tangent. I'm going to the bathroom. Okay. I'll be right back.
You remember when it was like probably about 87, 88, and Frank Zappa was he was in court all the time because he was fighting for the First Amendment.
Against Tipper Gore.
Right, for all that freedom of speech stuff.
Yes.
And people were saying, this was right around the time that they were talking about, I think, you know, some of the Black Sabbath songs were making kids do certain things.
Uh-huh.
And they were saying that, you know, like they were quoting some of Zappa's songs and saying, what do you think that this is making people do? And he was like, listen, 99% of all the songs that are written are love songs. If songs could make us do anything, we would all love each other.
Uh-huh.
But we don't.
Wow, that's a good point, man.
Guy's brilliant.
He's
incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had that song Valley Girl, right?
I'm kidding. Marilyn Manson actually had a really interesting piece in Bowling for Columbine about, because he was blamed to a certain extent for Columbine because those guys were listening to his music apparently the day of, and he was talking about the media. Do you remember that piece?
We'll talk about it.
Yeah. Well, he was just talking about how it's not music at all. It's like just media scares everyone because just like fear, 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 and then commercial, and then, you know, so, and whether you like or don't like Marilyn Manson, he's a fairly bright guy, very articulate, and he made a really strong point there in a similar vein. And then I see you peek around the corner to look at my computer screen, and that is a picture of the Fantastic Four fighting aliens.
Okay. You just wanted to head me off before I made fun of you about it first.
Right. Well, while we do show prep and we try to keep some topics going, Todd is on his computer looking at Mr. Fantastic battling a giant dragon. I just wanted to tie up, and that's what I like to do before we go on to the next topic. Tying up my rom-com talk, I'd like to point out one from, I believe, like 1998 called Next Stop Wonderland, starring Hope Davis. A very good little scene romantic comedy. Check that out.
What's it called again?
Next Stop Wonderland.
Yeah, you told me about that a while ago.
She was in The Secret Lives of Dennis with Campbell Scott.
I was just going to say, she was in a great romantic comedy, and that's the one.
Yeah, it's
a good movie.
And then I want to bring up a couple, Todd. Not a romantic comedy, but a very out there movie that is very romantic. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless
Mind. I was going to say that. Yeah, that's a wonderful.
That's
movie.
A great. I mean, that's
by
really
the people who brought us Being John Malkovich. Correct.
Right, that's true.
But you know, the reason why that movie hits home is because so many times these sappy love movies and love songs and things like that, they create this weird idealized version of love that people don't really experience, or they experience it for a very short period of time. And what's so great about Eternal Sunshine is that the way that they portray love in that movie is very realistic. You know, it's very basic, it's very day-to-day, and so it's so much more touching that, you know, when he's losing it and it's slipping away from him, it's all just regular everyday things, you know, and it kind of boosts how important they are and how much more meaningful they are than, you know, these other kinds of, you know, romantic ideas that get put in people's
heads. Yeah, the movie... the movie acknowledges that love and romance is not perfect and idealistic, and, yeah. and then it allows us to accept that, yeah, and really celebrates that.
Yeah, which I think it makes it so much more
powerful. I think that's bullcrap. What both of you guys said is pure crap. If you don't meet your loved one catching a bouquet at a friend's wedding and then having a memorable moment afterwards, like, you know, the balcony collapsing and you fall on top of each other and then you traipse off. But then the next day you realize you never got that person's name. And then you spend the next 2 years trying to locate that person. And when you run across them in a coffee shop
in an
Seattle,
airport.
Yeah, that's
and
the
then
only
like
way.
And then lightning strikes the coffee shop plane. Where you're having coffee right. and then you're in her body and she's in yours.
Right. And then you're like, I have a scorching case of genital herpes and that bitch gave it to me. That's what I'm talking about, love. But let me also say that I will bring up the movie Arthur. Not because it's a great
Dudley
romantic
comedy.
Yeah, Dudley Moore Arthur. Not because it's a great romantic comedy. It had the ugliest leading lady ever in a romantic comedy.
Who was that?
She was married to David Guest.
Terry Garr?
No, you know.
David Guest.
Arthur, the real ugly. God, she's so I don't even want to speak her name because when I speak her name. It just makes me... Judy Garland's daughter, Lorna Luft's sister.
Oh, Liza Minnelli.
Liza Minnelli.
Liza Minnelli, yeah.
It is mind-boggling, yeah. That movie. Like, you're
she
watching it.
She might be
it.
The ugliest celebrity
yeah.
of all time.
Right, and she...
Liza
and it's,
Minnelli.
Yeah, and it's,
Liza Minnelli?
Liza Minnelli. And it's not like back then, you're like, oh, she was probably cute back then to
no,
me.
No, she was not. This, but Dudley Moore also wasn't the
oh, he was
leading
hot.
Man.
No, he was really hot. He was really...
Is he dead?
Yeah, he's dead.
Yes, yeah. Liza Minnelli, she's one of those people with like Jeff always says, she has too much face on her face.
Yeah, she does. A lot of face on the face. Right.
It's just too much
big
face.
Googly
she's
eyes.
So hard to look at.
Like when she goes to get her character drawn at Great Adventure, they just take a photograph of her and hand it to the Polaroid.
Like, you're done.
She's so animated.
There, hold this football.
She's done. So animated when she sings and everything. Yeah. It's really difficult to watch.
And lastly, guys, another non-conventional, unconventional romantic comedy. Is the love story between Ratner and Stacy in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I think that's a beautiful one. It's two young kids who really overcome a lot of obstacles to get together at the end. And that movie holds up. I watched it again this weekend. It is one of the greatest comedy, one of the greatest movies of all time, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, written by Cameron Crowe. Guys, let's
get... So what's the best romantic comedy ever?
Best romantic comedy.
All time.
All time.
The Graduate? Would you say The Graduate?
Graduates, I don't really particularly care for it, but I know people...
What do you think?
I'm probably in Jeff's camp. I think it's an interesting movie. I enjoy it.
It's not my genre, so I really could... But you know what the highest grossing romantic comedy of all time is? Is one of the worst movies of all time. And people, this was... And it's also the highest grossing indie movie of all time was My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh!
And if you watch that...
That woman is terrible.
That movie proved just how many complete idiots there are in the world. Who liked that movie and embraced it.
It really is bad, yeah.
You know what else wasn't
it
bad?
It panders to like the lowest common denominator when it comes to humor and comedy.
Right, those people are throwing down their Mitch album books and running off to the movie theater.
You're right about You're that. Right. And her stand-up routine is terrible, too. And the sitcom was even worse.
I know, it's just, what's this late all after? Happy Valentine's Day. Guys, let's play some songs. Todd, I think we're going to play...
This is Daniel Johnston with Impossible Love.
You hurt me so bad. You're the best friend I ever had. Now I'm crawling in my shoes, trying to get back to you. Impossible love, I just can't get to you. Impossible love, I'm tangled up in you. You left me so long. Impossible love.
lovers. Used Wigs Radio, bringing the love lovers love to love to.
And we're back, people. We hit you with a twofer there. That's right. Two songs when you expect one. That's what we do here at Used Wigs Radio, because we love you. We're bringing the love. Love, love, love. That's for you. All right. That was the second song was called The Reasons by The Weaker Thens. One of the greatest indie bands of all time.
That, the album that that song is from is perfect. It's start to finish unbelievable. The songwriting, the lyrics, it is fantastic.
And I picked that song, The Reasons, Russ, for this simple line. And I'm all about quoting lines from my songs. That's my new thing. Because of my voice. Like, you hear the singer sing it, you're like, it's pretty good. But when I do
like
it,
hear you speak it?
No, it's like James Earl Jones reading, you know, something from Othello. I know you might roll your eyes at this, but I'm so glad that you exist. That is just a beautiful little slice of, yeah. That's John K. Sampson writing that. One of the best songwriters out there. And then, of course, before that we played, as we teased, Daniel Johnston, didn't we, Todd?
Yes, that was coming from the album Rejected Unknown, and I do believe he is everyone's favorite kind of underground, alternative, weirdo, psychologically unsound, possibly heavily medicated, overweight, mid-40s rock and roll independent star.
Yeah, he's up there with those other guys who fit that description.
Was it you that was just talking about him and saying that it's kind of getting sad now because like people are kind of going to see him? Where he lives in Texas, right?
It wasn't me who was just saying what you're saying.
Oh, wasn't?
No.
I was just talking to somebody about Daniel Johnston because there's a movie about him now, right?
Yeah. The Devil and Daniel Johnston. Yeah.
Did you see it?
I didn't.
And I haven't seen it either. But what they were saying was that, I don't know if it's a result of that movie or if the movie it starts to show this, is that, you know, there's a decent amount of people now who are aware of him, and these, like, you know, hipsters go and they think it's comedy. So they're kind of going and making fun and laughing the whole time.
Yeah.
And it's upsetting him.
They don't probably intend to go and tease or make fun, but he's become like kind of a pet or like a mascot almost for that
Yeah, and apparently, you know, they're going, and I mean, the thing that's great about him is that he has an innocence about his music that allows him to get to places that other people can't get because they're too self-conscious.
It's like it's a musical folk art.
Yeah, and as a result, he comes up with some really genuine, brilliant stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that these people in that category, they're not seeing it that way, and they're going and waiting for like him to get uncomfortable or get flustered or do something or that make like awkward.
Like he's
and
a then, sideshow act almost?
Yeah, and then or laugh phenomenal. At him.
Yeah,
whatever,
okay,
you know?
I got
you. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah, but the stuff is really strong. I mean, he's actually, I think, a very competent songwriter, mm-hmm. and his stuff is very pure. Like I said, very much like if you go to see folk art or an exhibition where there are untrained or what you might call outsider artists because there's not much between their emotion and the medium. You know, there's virtually no training and it's not very sophisticated, but it's really pure.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right then.
Jeff, can I please have the floor?
All right. I was going to tell you about something else, but Russ, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. Guys, I have
He's
a treat
very
for
excited.
You.
He's very excited.
I have a treat for you. I All found right. something.
Wow, it's a bonbon
on the web this week that I thought you would really like,
Sweet.
and it is calling out yet another thing out there that so many people love and is pure crap.
Bring it on.
Nickelback.
Ah,
you heard that band?
I've heard of them.
Have you seen their videos on VH1 or something like that? They're on all the time when I'm in the gym. The lead singer looks like a poodle.
Yeah.
Have you seen him?
Chad something. He's got like the white guy over bite kind of thing.
And he seriously has
the poodle hair.
Poodle hair. It looks like he has poodle ears on the side of his head and like all little curly. And he's very earnest.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff.
There's a video on YouTube of them getting booed off the stage in Portugal.
Really?
Yeah. They're being heckled so bad that they're like, we're gonna walk off the stage, and they did.
Nice.
So,
well,
so what's the treat, Russ?
The treat is I was. I'm not a member of too many mailing. What are they? What are those things? Mailing
newsletter.
Newsletters.
Mm-hmm.
But I am of course a member of the Rio Statics one. Since
right.
there are such a small group of us,
right,
the news comes infrequently.
Right to all 18
they
of you.
They can just
right.
call you guys.
Right.
You guys.
this is Fred Rayo. Russ there.
So anyway, somebody on the site they were talking about, you know, different musicians, whatever. They posted a music clip of. They took two Nickelback songs and laid them on top of each other, and they are identical. Like, you play them on top of each other at the same time, and all the chord changes are the same. They basically they're interchangeable.
Oh,
it's
that's
unbelievable.
Wonderful.
But,
all right.
But that's what people like, Russ. You don't want to challenge people. That's good. I'm
I know,
glad
but,
they do
but
that.
That's, but it's, this is just really showing what people are going for. They're going for bland, recyclable stuff, and here it is.
Wow, never thought we'd play Nickelback. Todd, go right ahead.
It reminds me of like an Emmett Otter
goodness.
Tug Band Christmas when uh-huh. they're walking back on the pond and the toad comes down and says, turns out what you needed was each other. And the mother song and the jug band song fit together perfectly. You know what I'm talking about? Like all along, you're familiar with these two songs, but put together, it gives it that little extra something. So they
Again, Todd, it's you and four of your friends saying, that's right, Todd.
The intros are the same, the drums, it's the same song.
It's a better song together, I think, than they are individually.
I have just two awesome songs that sound alike. What big deal? The thing is, you want their fans as easy as possible. You don't want them thinking they're able to hum along to one song. Why make them work to hum along to another? They can use their same humming memory
yes.
to kind of, you know, sing along and hum along. That is quite, that's pretty jarring. You know, it's, I mean, you always, it's very easy to make fun of bad music and
yeah.
it's fun to make fun of bad music.
But,
and I'm not apologizing, but it is really sad that it's gotten to a point formulaically that a band would do it so
yeah. And it's a fine line to walk because we all have our guilty pleasures, you know. It's the same thing.
Don't.
It's like, I'd love to go out to a really nice restaurant, but sometimes I just feel like a slice of pizza, you know. And with music, it's the same thing. Like, you know, I love to be challenged. I love things that make me think, but then sometimes you just want to listen to AC/DC.
Guys, are you up for some Mo music? Do you want to hear some Mo music? All right.
Yes, Jeff.
All right, let's hear some Mo music.
This next gate is for couples only. Used Wigs Radio.
Okay, we're back. That was Mo with She Sends Me. And guys, that harkens back to what I was talking about before. That I think the reason why I like that song is because it's about the everyday things about a relationship. It's a lot of love songs are always these, you know, super dramatic, end of the world kind mm-hmm. of feelings. And this is just about everyday stuff. She likes corn on the cob. We like the same movies. You know, just real basic stuff.
Nah, I understand. Because most of the love songs they produce today, the R&B stuff, and it's mostly these grandiose gestures yeah. of like, we're the last two people in the world. Anyway, we digress.
So, okay, so over the break there, we were talking about Nickelback a little bit more. Jeff, maybe you should tell that story about
I heard an interview with the band Jet, who are very popular. I think they're young Australian kids. And they were saying how they were just spent part of their tour busting on Nickelback. Someone had the tape and they'd play it for laughs. And then, of course, they had to play a show with Nickelback. And they basically said Nickelback are the nicest, sweetest guys they ever met. Just genuinely nice human beings. And boy, did they feel horrible. And then the guy who was interviewing Jet said, so now are you fans or your friends? They're like, oh, no. We still bust on them. They still stink. But we feel bad when we do it. So it just goes to show you. They're earnest in their, you know.
Well, you can critique someone's professional life and like them personally.
It's true.
Right?
Which I think is an important point, because there are plenty of people who I'm sure we rip on some of the things they've done professionally, but we would get along with fine.
Oh, yeah.
Nice enough guys.
I doubt Mandy Moore and I would get along at all. I really do. I just don't think we would get along. Guys, and another thing I have to I have to bring up, and this is kind of out of nowhere, but why do all black comedians feel the need to play fat women in their movies? You get to that point, you know what I mean, where you're like Martin Lawrence,
Eddie Murphy, Arsenio Hall,
Tyler Perry, like all these people, they're established comedians, and they're like, you know what, this big role, I'm gonna dress up as a big fat, you know, mama, and people eat it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't understand it. I you know, there's a lot I don't understand about certain comedy stylings, if you will, but I just don't see people getting this. I never got it, like, people dressing up and doing the drag thing. Like, as the, like, Howard Stern would dress up as a girl and go on Letterman. I'm like, wow. You know? Like, I guess people dig that. And I just never, so help me out here. What's the funny thing about
that? I don't know that I can offer any insight to that. I don't think it's funny at all.
I mean, and I think in the same vein is that one with, what was it, Damon Wayans was the baby? Something where they
that was it. Funny.
Was that funny?
No,
it wasn't.
I didn't see that.
But just see it.
I mean, you know, that's the same thing. Or, you know, these Eddie Murphy movies now, where in every new movie he makes, he has to play every character.
That's another one, yeah.
I mean, what is that?
That's called a just a wild, wild, unchecked ego, where there's no one saying, Eddie, don't do that. Everybody's like, whatever you want to do, Eddie. He's like, you know what, I'll play that role. No, I'm good. I can do that one, too. You know, people dig it.
Do they even have casting agents, like, for these movies?
Yeah, Eddie Murphy does it all, man. Eddie Murphy had a sex scene with himself in one movie. It was awesome. He played the woman, and he was a, like, missionary position. It was wild.
Does that actually happen in the new movie?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just kidding.
I think he plays the big fat woman, and he plays...
And he's smothered by his heavy wife, yeah.
Wow. When you guys see it, when you guys go together, tell me all about that.
See, Jeff, it's
not
like,
for Valentine's
it's,
Day.
It's... Oh. Fiction becoming fact.
Wow. But you know what we got to do, guys? We got to get back to the love and a little less of this talk. And I'm sorry, I got us off track. Why don't we go to a song, guys?
Stone love. She kneels before the grave, a brave son who gave his life to save a slow gun that hovers between the headstone and her eyes, for they penetrate her grieving. You love a boy and girl that are talking new words that only they can share in new words. A love so strong it tears their hearts to lose. Hours in the morning, love is careless in his choosing, stooping over cross and daily. Love descends on those defenseless. Give me a love who will spark confusion. Inspirations have I none, just a touch of flaming dove. All I have is my love of love, and love is not loving. Thank you.
the word and soul of love. And now my God on high is all love. The reaching of my loneliness evolves by the blindness that surrounds him.
David Bowie.
Seems like you're always either in love with him or fighting with him.
We have a love-hate relationship. Even ask him. He'll say the same thing about me. Yeah.
That was a pretty good song, Todd.
Well, thank you.
I really like me the David Bowie.
I've told my wife on a number of occasions, if I ever fall into a coma, is to play that album on repeat in the room, and I will come too.
Did you guys shout out the Bowie clip?
From Extras?
Yeah, did you shout that out last
time? I don't
know
if we did, but if not... Put in YouTube and put David Bowie on Extras, the show Extras with Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, it's a wonderful clip.
One of the one of the best scenes ever in a comedy. Russ, what was your wedding song?
My wedding song was Until You Came Into My Life by Joe. It's actually by Ann Peebles. It was Joe Henry covering it.
Ann Peebles?
Mm-hmm. What was yours, Jeff?
It was another Ann Peebles song. I know, I was thinking of Nia Peebles. Remember the actress Nia Peebles?
Was she in Fame?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to call her Pia Nipples. I don't know. Because you kind of mess up her name that way.
That went over well in like fourth grade.
Yeah, it really killed. It killed it killed on the playground. Actually, it was You Are the Everything by R.E.M.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And we had to...
Fresh.
Yeah, we had to, back then it wasn't even out yet. No, I'm just kidding. We had to get the band we hired to learn that song.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, oh, we could play anything, blah, blah, blah. So we gave him a list, and he's like, yeah, I can play this. And I'm like, and this is our wedding song. He's like, what? He did a pretty good job, though.
I think I know yours.
Todd, yours was...
In My Life by Jonathan Winston.
Can you...
And the Beatles.
Did we fess up, or did you actually... On this radio broadcast, when we found out that wasn't really John Lennon's name,
his real name apparently is John. It was John Winston Lennon. He was never John the Thin.
Right.
Our friend Brian brought that to my attention. And when he married Yoko Ono, he took Ono as his middle name. But that's when he died, as far as I'm concerned. So
you know what? That's
dead to me then.
That really shows love. You know, like when you're with your lady, and not only
especially when it's Yoko Ono.
So, but he's probably just going, it'll give me more of like an international flair to have like an exotic name.
Yeah, because
like
he needed to be a bigger celebrity at that point.
Yeah, that's true.
How can I reach out?
I didn't even think of that. So not enough people are like really, the word's not out there. I don't have MySpace yet. How are people going to find me? How am I going to get friends? This is kind of borderline right now with the love songs, guys. We're going to have to fill this up with a big vat of testosterone after this and talk about
it. Talk about the Super Bowl.
Talk about boxing, Super Bowl. I saw this this secret video. I can't really get just about like knife fighting in Nigeria. We got to check that out and really talk about that. It's awesome. I'm so into that stuff. But until we do, let's play another love song. This is my favorite love song of all time. No, hands down. And it's a modern one. It's not some old, you know, like I'm going to pull one out and say, I love that Dinah Washington song from 1940. No, no, no. I'm not that deep.
That's where you're going to get an argument, I think, from both Todd and I.
Yeah.
That there are plenty of old love songs that are fantastic. Maybe it's not right for this venue.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure they're out there, but I'm not that deep. I don't go swimming in the deep end. I stay, you know, right here. This is called Sweet Avenue by Jets to Brazil.
tasting you in rain. I walk down to the train, try not to look down. This day could someday be an anniversary. Everything is light and sound. Facing forwards, going slowly, wait for you to show me where this train wants to go. Living by the hour, I stop for every flower. Everything is soft and slow. Now all these tastes improve through the view that comes with you. Like they handed me my life, for the first time it felt right. There's life in me, it was dying to get out. Holding you, we make two spoons beneath an April moon. Everything is soft and sweet. This cigarette, it could seduce a nation with its smoke. Down my tired throat, scratches part of me that's purring, softly stirring. I'm a captain of industry, smoking famously, feet up on the windowsill. Looking at all these trees, I feel affinity with everything so soft and still. Budding at my fingertips, touching you, I start to bloom. Alive with trains and passing ships, soft and sweet along your lips now. I go, oh. Thank you for taking me from my monastery. I was dying to get out. With tears of gratitude, I like my latitude. Cross town train to you. Now all these tastes improve through the view that comes with you. Like they handed me my life, for the first time it felt worth it, like I deserved it.
If you love somebody, set them free. If they don't return, They're probably listening to Used Wigs Radio. Shh.
And we're back. Used Wigs Radio podcast number 26, The Love Show, where we're filling you up with our love. Ew. That was Sweet Avenue by Jets to Brazil off the album Orange Rhyming Dictionary, 1991, on Jade Tree Records. Jade Tree, right out of Wilmington, Delaware. One of the best indie music labels out there. I would like to tell you that the singer of that song, the songwriter, is also the singer-songwriter for this first song we played, Jawbreaker. That's Blake Schwarzenbach.
Wow.
He is my favorite songwriter of the past maybe 20 years. I just find him just fantastic. And that is just a lovely song, and he has a great sense of humor to his songs. And I will quote a line from the song.
Of course you will.
Right. He did a pretty good job, but... Now all these tastes improve through the view that comes with you. Yeah, that's pretty nice, huh? Solid. So that is just a beautiful song, and I expect to get a lot of emails saying thanks for turning me on to that. Guys, before we go to shout-outs and all our love-based shout-outs and all that, I just like to start a little thing I like to call What You Listening To? We play a lot of songs here, and I'm sure we all kind of, in the vetting process, have a couple that are we don't play, but we'd like to tell people that, hey, you know what I'm listening to? Which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like right now, if we opened up, you know, Russ's non-iPod, opened up his Rhapsody, and so mm-hmm. you see, what are you listening to? Russ, what are you listening to right now?
Who's the guy from Catherine Wheel? Rob something?
Rob Bass.
No, who is that guy?
Rob Bass is awesome, by the way. All right, this is going to be quick. Who else are you listening to, Russ? Ponder
so
that name.
Ticked off, I can't remember his name.
You get Russ. Todd, who are you listening to?
I just downloaded the new Clap Your Hands and Say Yeah album. I was a big fan of the first album, so I'm.
Are you
going
to be like every other indie reviewer though?
Yes.
Bash this to bits and be like, sorry, it's over, you guys. You blew it.
I detect a sophomore slump.
Yeah.
Definitely, it wasn't as good as their first one. I'm also I downloaded a lot of the old Yo La Tengo stuff because Russ and I are going to the concert soon, so I'm trying to study up on them.
Nice, it's good to study up so you can sing along to every song. Mm-hmm. And then when one song comes on, you kind of nudge Russ and go, "Oh, this is off the third album, great song." And Russ goes, "Shh, no shit,
you're on to me."
You're right.
I have Rob Dickinson, by the way. Is that the guy?
Rob Dickinson. Thank you.
Right.
I have a great story about something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Hit us.
All right. Jill Sobule, the singer-songwriter.
Sure, love her.
She is fantastic.
Saw her in concert. Yeah, she's great.
She was playing at the Tin Angel here in Philly, which is a small little venue, and Lisa loves her. So mm-hmm. we got tickets and went to go see her. You know, we're sitting right up front. It was fantastic. Well, this one girl shows up, and she's sitting right behind Lisa and I, and she is like the biggest fan ever. Every song, she's not just singing along to herself. She's screaming it out.
Ugh.
And this is in a Tin Angel. It is quiet in there. People across the room are looking at her like, will you stop? She had her hands clasped and was leaning towards the stage with this big goofy smile.
Yes.
And like singing all the songs at Jill, who could see her. It was really creepy. Right?
Wow.
And
would you be flattered as a musician? Would you be flattered if someone was doing
no,
that?
No, I think it would be creepy. And it was creepy. And so it was bothering me, but it was bothering my wife even more, who proceeded to, she whispered in my ear, are you hearing this? I said, yes. I said, what are we going to do about it? Like, I get timid in those situations. She just turns around and goes, excuse me, could you stop singing? I can't hear the stage. I can only hear you.
Ooh.
So the girl...
Okay. Kept, no, you didn't!
But again, like, just think that's about the person say. That was doing this, not altogether balanced to begin with, right? She just, like, freezes, clams up, and doesn't even know what to do. And so then, and we hear her like, and she's sitting right behind me, and she's huffing and puffing for a little bit, and then in between a song where people are clapping, she leans forward, you know, I'm not the only one singing in here, and all this stuff.
Oh,
right?
No.
And so, and that was it. But then, in the middle of the next song, she gets up and storms up, like, to the stage, but past it, because the bathroom is behind it. It's, like, the bathroom in the Tin Angel is right behind the stage. While Jill is playing, she's playing this really quiet song, this girl is wailing in the bathroom. Crying.
Lisa
crying.
Made like, her
so,
cry.
Yeah, so while
cool,
Jill is
Lisa.
Playing, we hear this, like, muffled in the background. Like that. It, right?
Good.
This goes on for like three or four songs. And Jill actually at one point stops and goes, what's going on back there? Like, it sounds like somebody's having sex. Right? Finally, after a while, she comes back out, like, all defiant, like she had collected herself, and sits down and, like, it was.
Wow.
It was really creepy. And at that point, like I said to Lise, I was like, listen, this it was close to the end of the show. Very small show. I was like, this person is obviously unbalanced.
He's going to try to kill you.
And I was like, I don't think we should be sitting right here because she's definitely the kind of person who will try to maybe punch you or something. So why don't we just kind of move to the back, and when the show's over, we'll just walk
out. And Russell's the kind of guy who'll be like, hey, if you hit my girlfriend one more time, you're in trouble.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you know when you're around people who are unstable, and this was definitely a person in that category.
But you know what? Some people cry when they poop. She might have been pooping. And some people, it's hard to get a poop out. I know I tear up sometimes. I'm like, oh, just clean my body.
Check on that girl?
That's what was happening. She was like, do you guys hear that back there? And then she was making fun of it. She's like, it sounds like somebody's having sex. Oh, good for them and everything. But this woman was like, you know, crying.
Oh. Real cool, Lisa. Real cool. You just really took a woman's dreams of singing back up with Jill Sobule and crushed him to smithereens. You guys are probably wondering what I'm listening to.
Yeah, actually, I was going to ask.
Nah.
No, not so much. Guys, the most catchy song in the world right now is a song called Go Get 'em Tiger by Gisli, or I can't pronounce this guy's name. He's from Iceland, I believe. They call him the Icelandic Beck. G-I-S-L-I. And Russ will play a little for you right now. Guys, wasn't that, as people say, funky?
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I'm also listening to
Becktastic.
Rob Crow. His song, I Hate Rob Crow, is fantastic. He's one of the guys in the indie stalwart band Pinback, who, Todd, I believe you would also really enjoy.
I have a lot of their live stuff.
Very hypnotic, this song, I Hate Rob Crow by Rob Crow. And for all you hardcore purists, check out Bane, Boston's finest hardcore band, listening to an album from 2005 called The Note. And that was a segment we call here at Used Wigs Radio, What You Listening To? Guys, that was real. I'm so filled with love and, you know, love fluids and all the good things about love like that after listening to this show. And it's really put me in a real good mood.
You're full of love fluids, huh?
Did I say that?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, jeez. To get rid of those. I think it's time for some shout-outs. Todd, shout us out.
Yesterday during the Super Bowl, I went to the movies and watched Pan's Labyrinth.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And I will say that it was fair. It was good.
Really?
And perhaps I'd heard so much about it and got so excited about it, I was a little disappointed. All of the characters that you can see in the movie, you can see in the trailer. So they didn't offer any more. They didn't add any more. But the backdrop set in kind of historical fiction, you know, the Spanish Civil War and things like that. It was well done, well acted, but why not, instead of watching Pan's Labyrinth, just watch Labyrinth?
God.
You know? Hey, you remind me of the babe.
Oh, Todd.
That's a pretty tough movie to get through.
What?
Listen, because you told me to see that a couple years ago and I'd never seen it
the
first time
around.
People
don't say it. Uh-huh. Save your money.
Yeah, at this, seeing it for the first time
at our age,
it's not good.
Watch something else.
It's not good. I mean, the acting is ridiculous.
The acting is terrible. But a young Jennifer Connelly looks fantastic. Ooh. David Bowie
looks, but she's like 15.
But she's our age now, so it doesn't matter. You can like
you're allowed to ogle
because
yeah.
We were 15 when the movie came out,
right.
So it doesn't matter.
That's
you
true.
Know, we could totally have like skated with her at some kind of roller rink.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. First of all, second of all, David Bowie is super cool. Third of all, it was back in a time when we still used puppets and costumes to make fantasy, as opposed to CGI, which is crap. So. Yeah.
Look at how heated he's
been. I know. Todd's best friend back then were puppets. Just sitting in his room.
Back then?
When it comes to dissing puppets, then Todd pipes up.
All right, Todd. So Pan's Labyrinth and the movie...
It was pretty good.
And Pan's the movie Labyrinth is another shout-out of yours.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Very good. People see one of those movies. My shout-outs are a little website called The Out of Towner. It's actually towner.philadelphiaweekly.com. By the fine folks at Philadelphia Weekly. It's just a nice little simple blog type site of nice photography and short profiles of people who pass through Philadelphia, Some are celebrities, some are old like jazz musicians, some are people who live in Philly.
This is a segment in the actual paper.
It's a segment in the actual paper, but the photography's top notch. And the nice little, very, very brief profiles, nice digestible chunks, really well done. Also check out Steve Burns, who used to be on Blue's Clues, and I believe the drummer from the Flaming Lips, Stephen Drozd, have a new video called I Hog the Ground, and it's on Jack's Big Music Show on Noggin. It's a kid's video, but he, you know, put out a really good indie rock album, Steve
wasn't
Burns.
Wasn't he supposed to be dead or in prison or something?
No.
Wasn't there a urban myth then, perhaps?
That one that you might have created. But if you go to Noggin...
now.
If you go to Noggin.com and look up Jack's Big Music Show, they get a lot of, like, you know, legit indie music people to do videos for him for kids' music. It's very good.
He's a local guy as well.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know
Westchester.
Wow. And speaking of Todd, last week you and I were laughing hysterically going through Todd Barry's Receipt Museum on ToddBarry.com.
Awesome.
One of the best ideas ever for a website. Todd Barry just puts his mundane receipts from everything from buying shampoo to having dinner at a restaurant and comments on them. Fascinating. And lastly, with all this brouhaha about the Aqua Teen people putting up those little light brights promoting their movie and showing the Moonanites, there's a website. If you just go type into Google all-time top 10 Moonanites quotes ever shown, it gives you the top 10 clips of Moonanite clips. Beyond funny.
Oh, it gives you the videos?
Yeah, it's just videos of the Moonanites just really showing you how they rule the universe. Russ, we're going to end the show with a beautiful, beautiful piece of music because we want to leave them with just a real lovey-dovey feeling inside where they'll probably want to grab a bottle of wine, grab their best gal or guy, and just huddle up and listen to some Tom Waits, right?
Yeah, this is a gorgeous piece by Tom Waits off of Mule Variations, and if you listen to the lyrics, it might even get you a little weepy. It's a beautiful piece.
Love and kisses to everybody out there in the audience from us, your lovers.
Hook. No one knows where we are. It's a long time since I drank champagne. The ocean's blue as your eyes. I'm gonna take it with me when I go. Since gone, now way back when we lived in Coney Island. There ain't no good thing ever dies. I'm gonna take it with me when I go. Far, far away. Wherever you're going, wherever you've been, waving goodbye at the end of the day. You're up and you're over and you're far. Felt just like the old days. We fell asleep on Beulah's porch. I'm gonna take it with me when I go. All broken down by the side of the road. I's never more alive. Worn the faces off all the cards. I'm gonna take it with me when I go. The children. children are playing, the end of the day. Strangers are singing on along. There's got to be more than flesh and bone. All that you've loved is all you own. Your land, there's a town, and in that town there's a house, and in that house there's a woman, and in that woman there's a heart I love. I'm gonna take it with me when I go. I'm gonna take it with me when I go.
This next